Had originally planned for last week, but I believe God wanted it for this week. So we're here and we're going to get it this week. So, but let's step in. God, we praise you. We thank you for your word. Father, we thank you for your anointing upon our lives. We thank you for the blood of Jesus. We thank you for salvation through grace. We thank you for just the love that you have shed upon us and across in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, through your Holy Ghost that you have given unto us. Lord, you're good and awesome to us. You take good care of us. You provide for us. And Father, today we pray as we get into your word that you open the windows of heaven, Lord, that we may receive all that you want to give us today, Lord. I pray that things that would try to hinder the receiving of the word will be pressed away or pressed down or cast out, Lord, that we can openly receive all that you want, Lord. It's up to you, Lord. We are laying our lives in your hands right here at this moment. We thank you for it, praise you for it. It's in Jesus' name that we say, amen.
Amen.
Amen. So I want to give you some keys to growing in Christ. Okay, five keys is what it's going to end up being. Five keys to growing in Christ. It's something simple, okay, that I'm going to share today. Because it's something that I noticed from the teachings of Jesus. If you look at kind of how he taught when he was teaching the disciples, and he did it, that's, you know, a third of his walk was teaching. And so as he was teaching the disciples, you begin to see the things, the way that he did it was not complicated. Okay? I noticed that he taught in a way that makes you have to think about it. He taught in a lot of parables. He used a lot of stories. He used things that made you have to think about it. And then it might make you require you to apply it in some way or begin to act on your faith in him by your actions. And so there's a little bit more to it than just sharing something. Sometimes he may have wanted you to actually put a little effort in on your own part, put some actions to your faith, but ultimately those goals that he was setting were simple. Okay, let me give you an example. In John chapter 14, okay, starting in verse 6, it says, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Okay, or you could say, except through me. Okay, that is not a complicated message in any way, shape, or form. Okay, there is, in other words, only one way to God, and that is through Jesus Christ. Okay, one way to God. Okay, now, how you go about going through Jesus to get to God is where your part comes in. Okay, this is where your, you know, some of it is your effort, some of it is your understanding, but it's where you come in to the picture. Okay, let me give you an example, and stick with me on this, because I'm going to use the example throughout the whole message this morning. If I give someone directions, okay, or I tell someone to get to my house, in order to get to my house at Fort Steele, you have to take Interstate 80. If you're going to get to my house at Fort Steele, you have to take Interstate 80. There is literally no other road. Okay, you can take the old highway and get to Sinclair, but from Sinclair on, you're still going to have to get on this one road that I'm telling you. You have to take I-80 to get to my house at Fort Steele. I-80 is the way, in other words. But you have to decide what means you will take to get there. Okay, I'm telling you, the way, take I-80. That's how you get to my house. You decide how you're going to travel down I-80. Okay, you can walk, you can ride a bike, you could ride a horse. Okay, you could drive a car or a truck or a motorcycle, whatever. But that is your decision to make on how you travel down that road to get to my house. That's not my decision. I told you the goal. You're going to my house. Here's how you get there. Okay, that's up to you. That's your part that you're playing. Okay, that is where your walk with God can vary just a little bit from the person sitting next to you. Okay, you have had different life experiences. Okay, you have had different relationships along the way, different upbringing, different church background. You've had different experiences and different teaching. Your understanding of God should be very similar to the person next to you. We all worship one same God. Okay, so it should be very similar to the person next to you, but your relationship with God is not exactly the same as the person sitting next to you. So your methods of going through Jesus, the one way to get to God, it might look a little bit different for different people. Okay, are you following me? It's unique. You have your own personal, unique relationship with God. Nobody else has the walk with God that you do. It is unique to you and God. It is a one-on-one with you and God. Some of you have a nice car or a truck, so you would just drive that out to my house. Okay, one guy that we all probably know in the church rides his bike on these 100-mile-a-day marathon kind of things. He probably wouldn't think twice about riding his bike out to my house. Maybe somebody else's car broke down. They still want to get to my house, so they're going to have to walk along the side of the road, or hitchhike, or catch a ride, or find another way to get there. Can you see how your means of reaching the goal depends on where you're at in your life? Okay, it depends on what has happened in your life, where you're at, your circumstance, right here, right now, meaning your walk with God is your personal walk with God. Okay, you following me so far? There are, however, sorry, I'm squeaking. Did you hear that? That was almost a squeak. I didn't realize how hoarse I am this morning. There are, however, certain things that will be the same for each one of us. Not even just close, it should be identically the same. Okay, like this, for example, heading east. Right? No matter who you are, no matter what circumstance you have in your life, whether you're walking, you're riding, you're catching a ride, you're driving your fancy truck, whatever it is, you have to go east. That's the same for every single person in this room. Okay, in order to get to my house from Rollins, at least, you have to go in the same direction. My house is east of Rollins. Everybody agree with that? Y'all on the same page? You see how we all have one thing right there in common. If you're going to Gary's house, you've got to go east. What I want to share this morning, these 5 points, are some of those things that are common to all of us, okay, when it comes to growing in our relationship with God. In other words, they're things that are the head east directions. Okay, it's not even telling you the I-80 necessarily. It's telling you, you got to go east. It's a big one. It's an overwhelming, can't be done any other way than by going east kind of directions. Okay, now again, these aren't going to be complicated, because that's what I see with Jesus. He didn't make it complicated. He made it simple. Okay, but each one of them is going to require you to apply it to your own life so that you can advance in your own personal relationship with God. Okay, if you don't want to apply it, you don't have to apply it. You can have whatever, a bowl of ice cream sitting on the counter until it melts and turns into nothing, and you don't have to eat it. Okay, you don't have to take it. You don't have to eat it. You can let it sit there. But it's being offered to you. Let me give you an example of not being complicated. When Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, it says, "Then Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man," it includes all of us, "if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Okay, that's not too complex. You must deny the God of self to successfully follow Jesus. He says, if any man, woman or child, you could add that in if you want, If anyone will come after me, he says, you must deny yourself first. Okay, so in fact, I have five key points this morning, and that's number one. Okay, deny yourself. Jesus didn't say to find yourself. Did he? Jesus didn't say to be yourself. Jesus didn't say be true to yourself. Okay, that stuff is all a bunch of New Age humanistic hogwash, is what it is. Okay, it is the complete opposite of the message of Jesus Christ. He didn't say be yourself, find yourself, do all this for yourself. He said deny yourself in order to follow me. The Christian doesn't need to become more like yourself. You need to become more like Jesus. In order to follow in His ways, you have to deny yourself the right to do things your own way. Jesus isn't running a Burger King. Remember their old motto, have it your way? He's not running a Burger King. He's running the kingdom of God, and he said, it's not your way, it's my way. There is no other way. He is the way. Okay, your goal is not to meet the needs in your own life. Okay, not to be who you want to be. Your goal is to follow Jesus by being transformed into His image. I will only become more Christ-like when I become less Gary-like. You know why? Because Gary wants to be selfish. Okay, Gary wants to drown his sorrows in a bottle. Gary wants to be mean in an argument, make sure I win it. Okay, Gary wants to indulge in crude behavior. My flesh, in other words, is in a constant battle with the Spirit of the living God that is also within me. You know, I heard a Christian song the other day, and I want to show you the lyrics here in a minute. The lyrics spoke very deeply to me. I listened to a station, one of my current favorites, is called Radio Air Jesus. And it's a Spirit-filled radio station. They play songs that are very worshipful, very passionate. They're usually live and in concert or in a, you know, revival meetings or different things. They'll pray in the Spirit. They pray in tongues. They sing in prophetic, you know, utterances. It's powerful stuff. They play, though, the gamut of genres on that station. I was listening to it the other day, and Isaac's like, Dad, you're kind of rocking out today, because they do. They'll play some of the rockier stuff. It sounds kind of heavy. They'll play the kind of twangy stuff once in a while. Sometimes it's hymns, you know, kind of things. But and once in a while, they play kind of a Christ-centered rap. Okay? And the other day I was listening to it, and one of the songs came on, and it was one of these rap songs. And I'll tell you what, it has some potent lyrics, and I want to share some of those. It was a rap song called Tug of War by Andy Mineo. Okay, Andy Mineo. And it goes like this. The beginning, it starts out, it says, Mama praying for me, Grandma praying for me, Satan praying on me, Jesus waiting on me. Because I've been straddling the fence, it's time to make decisions. I've been thinking about heaven lately. Don't think I'll get in. Because I've been going back and forth. I love the way I'm living, but I hate it at the same time because I know I'm sinning. And I don't want to be like them, hypocritical Christians. So I stay away from Jesus completely till I'm ready to give Him everything. But that seems like it'll never happen. My girl coming over later, you know what's about to happen. Then after some smashing, I'm sitting there asking if eternity in hell is worth some moments of this satisfaction. Man, I'm so back and forth. I'm back and forth like a tug of war. I've been fighting for my life like I'm trying to get my life right. And I really want more, and I don't know. Back and forth like a tug of war. And I've been fighting for control and fighting for my soul, and this is war. I've got two choices. Both require pain. One's the pain of change or the pain of staying the same. One of them leads to joy. One of them leads to shame. One of them leads to freedom. The other one keeps me in chains. I wear a cross and give you thanks for my blessings. Ain't that enough? Why you want everything? Can't you leave this part of my life untouched? I thought following you meant I only had to say yes once. Now every day I wake up, you give me some cross to take up. You really want me to break up with my girl? Now that's too much. I know what's best for me. You don't understand my complexity. See, I gotta make a living, so don't ask where my checks come from. Now I hear you talking, I ain't gone numb. I know I'm in the dark and I gotta find my way to the sun, 'cause he calling my name and I know I can't run. I'm so back and forth. Can you hear the description of the battle that goes on inside of you? It's a tug of war. The Apostle Paul described it in scriptures as he wrote to the Galatians and the Christians in Galatia. I don't know if he meant to put it in a rap kind of, you know, sentence structure the way that it shows up in a King James, but it sounds like this. In Galatians 5:16, he says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the lust of the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would." I think Paul was the original rapper. I don't know. There's a battle going on inside of you. And denying self and despising selfishness in every area of your life should be a major must-have focal point for you to live out your faith in Christ. We must deny ourselves. You've been given the ability to win this war. There is hope. You have the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit within you. But every single believer still has to apply that ability. You have to utilize the power, access it, plug into it, or you will end up being carnal and overrun with the desires of your flesh, your will, making you you. Number one is deny yourself. Number two, that was a long one. Number two is shorter. Number two is be in God's Word. Okay, this is a head east direction. You've got to be in God's Word. It's a universal part of the Christian faith. The psalmist said in Psalm 119, 105, he said, "Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Without the Word of God, you cannot see where you are going, and you will not survive as a Christian believer. Okay, you will be devoured by the devil. You'll be devoured by the world and your own flesh. You will not have anything to stand on. You won't have any truth to keep you going. You know, some of you are probably maybe not defending the Bible as the Word of God like you at one time did in your life. If you remember, though, John said, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." This is God. Can I stand on it? Can I exalt it? Can I glorify it? This is God. Okay, now as a young believer, I remember I had Bible. My Bible was laid on the coffee table, and I had a friend that came over, and you know, he had a pack of cigarettes or whatever, and he pulls one out and he threw the pack on the coffee table and it landed on top of my Bible. And I jumped up off my couch and I went and I smacked that pack of cigarettes off that Bible and said, "How dare you put that on the Word of God?" Okay, and the guy jumps back and says, "Whoa, dude, I'm sorry, I didn't think it was that big a deal." You know, and I'll tell you what, I've learned since then that the physical pen and ink, the paper itself, the leather cover, the whatever it is, that's not God. But what's in it is God. It's God's Word. It is God. It is the Word made flesh. It is the Word in format that we can tangibly touch and read and taste and feel. I had a conversation with my older brother last night. We're both going through a lot of stuff. We had a good conversation about God and things that are going on in our lives and how we can pursue God and have conversations with Him. And one conclusion that we came to is that without being in the Word of God, we will not hear God. People tell me, I'm just not hearing much from God. It's like He's distant. I guarantee you, they're not reading the Word of God. They're not in it. They're not reading it. They're not hearing it. They're not listening to it. They're not taking it in and absorbing and looking. I go to the Word of God and I open it up, and when I read the words in Christ, I see that man that sat in front of me in my living room the other day. I see Jesus and I read Him, and as I'm reading His Word, that is His Word spoken directly to me. This is the Word of God. The less time that you're in the Word of God, the less time you spend reading it, hearing it preached, listening to it on tape or in your phone or whatever, the longer it is going to take you to grow in Christ, if you grow at all. And I guarantee you that if you're not in the Word, you will be much more susceptible to backsliding, to yielding to the flesh, to giving in to the ways of your sinful nature. Okay, you'll fall into that. You won't have the strength to be able to overcome when those temptations come your way. Jesus said, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth," John 6:63. "The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." The written Word of God is what feeds your spirit. That battle that goes on in beside of you, that tug of war, okay? Who's going to win? It's the one that is being fed the most. Feed the Spirit of God by reading the Word of God every day. It is the strength and the nourishment that you need to survive to live as a Christian believer. You should read or listen to God's Word every single day. It is the bread of life. Then take it further. Go beyond just reading it. Start seeing it as His Word to you. Begin to study it. Look at what Jesus said, why He said it, how did He say it, who was He saying it to, why did it come up in the first place. Read the whole chapter, back up and read a little bit more. Start studying that stuff. You know, as a believer, I have notebook after notebook after notebook filled with Bible definitions and descriptions of passages and things that are broken down, where I've looked up things in the Greek and the Hebrew and studied them out, or looked them up in a Bible dictionary. Okay, prayed over passages and asked the Lord, show me what is the truth in this passage. What is it really saying? And then writing down what He says. These things were things that I did long before ever being called a pastor. Okay, now it's mostly in file forms. Okay, thousands of them in my computers. It came from just being grateful for Jesus. Okay, for being thankful for who He is and what He did in my life. He saved me. He did what I could not do. And I wanted to know Him better. Okay, to get to know the God that has created such a wonderful plan for us. You know, if you're being formed into His image, you're going to have to get to know Jesus intimately. Okay, like two best friends that you start acting the same. You start kind of talking the same language and using the same innuendos and you start kind of even looking like each other and dressing the same. Okay, the more time that two people spend together, the more in tune with each other they are. Well, Jesus said in John 10:27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Okay, in other words, you follow Him when you hear His voice, and His voice is in the Scriptures. Very rarely have I had an audible conversation like what I did the other day with the Lord. 99 out of 100 times, it's right here where He speaks. God speaks through His Word. He shows you things. be in the Word. Number three is pray. The disciples that were closest to Jesus, if you remember, at one point asked him, Lord, teach us how to pray. Okay, they had seen the example of Jesus. Okay, like I'm talking about, you watch him. Okay, they saw Jesus at times go off by himself to pray alone, where he could be alone with God. He'd come back different. They saw him on a mountainside transfigured, transformed, and his face was changed, everything. And they saw him talking with Moses and Elijah. They saw this prayer, this thing that happened with him where at times he didn't go off alone to pray. At times he prayed in front of other people so that they could hear him pray. And he even says that, God, I didn't pray. I know you heard me. I'm praying so that these guys can hear me. And he kind of explains it to God, which I think is funny. They saw Jesus pray for healing. They saw Jesus pray for provision. They saw Jesus pray prayers of thanksgiving. They knew the basic concept of just having conversation with God. We think of that as prayer. But they watched Jesus carefully and they figured if anybody knew the ins and outs of prayer, it's going to be Jesus. So they watched him. They sought to be like Jesus. Teach us to pray like you pray. Paul and James and John and others give us some insight into praying. You remember the Apostle Paul said to pray without ceasing. He said, in everything give thanks, to pray in the Spirit. James said to pray prayers filled with faith, not wavering between faith and doubt. John said to be confident in prayer, knowing that God hears you. And knowing that he hears you, you can be assured that you will have the petitions that you desired of God. Jesus said this about prayer in Matthew 21, 22. He said, and all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Prayer is powerful. Okay, and it's critical to your walk with God. You will not grow spiritually. It's a head east direction. You've got to pray as a Christian believer. It's a head east. Number four, closed doors. Closed doors. As you read and study God's Word, as you pray and you seek God, as you deny yourself, areas of your life that do not line up with God and His holy standards are going to be revealed to you. You're going to see things about yourself. My brother and his wife, he was telling me they've gone through a lot of transformational stuff here in the last few months, and he said, you know, Gary, I don't think I've ever been as convicted as I have for the last 3 months. He said, something is different. He feels different. God is doing a work in his life. And I said, brother, that is not a bad thing. That God is speaking to you in that way. He's showing you how to get to the next level. He's showing you where He wants you to go. He is forming you into His image. You know, God will provide a way out of every temptation. But you still have to take that way out. Okay, I can tell you how to get to my house. I can say, you drive down I-80, you know, quite a few miles out there, you'll see the sign, whatever. You got to take exit 228. It's up to you to take that exit. Because you know what happens if you don't take exit 28? You stay on the same road that you're already on for another 7 miles till you get to Walcott at least. There's no other way off. God will provide a way out of every temptation, but you've got to take it or you'll stay on the same road that you're already on and you'll end up in trouble. God gives you that out, but you've got to take it. You end up in the wrong place. Remember the rap song lyrics that I showed you earlier? Andy Mineo goes on to say this. He says, do you hear me? It's so clear, and now it's painfully apparent, that I can't have my sin and my Savior. They're not for sharing. Anything that I lose to follow you is not a loss. My girlfriend, my friends, my money, even my job. The point is that sometimes the change in direction that you need is not a small thing. The exit that you need to take, the door that you need to close, is not just a little thing. It is a major life change. It is a completely different kind of relationship. Maybe you've never been in a single relationship with somebody without sleeping with them before you get married. Maybe you've never had that kind of a friendship with somebody where you get to know people and you court instead of date. You don't do that. Maybe that's the change God is saying, hey, now's the time. It could be a completely different kind of relationship than you're used to. It could be a major open door in your life that needs to be slammed shut and locked for the rest of your life. Not, I'm going to try it. Not, I'm going to see what happens. But close the door, lock it, turn away, throw the key in the ocean, whatever you got to do, make it so that it's not coming back. You got to close the doors to the demonic realm, okay, so they cannot influence you in that particular area anymore. I had a conversation with somebody this week. They reached out to me about an addiction thing they were going through, and they knew I had been through some stuff in the past and figured I could help them. I gave them the same advice I gave them the last time. You're going to have to change your life. Get with Jesus. You're going to have to get on fire with Him. You have to change your friendship, your group of people. You don't go hanging out with people that drink on Friday night if you're having trouble drinking on Friday night. You don't want to do it anymore. Okay? Point blank. You're going to have to change your associations. You might even have to change your job. Okay? You're going to have to change some major things in your life if you're serious about walking away from that. Unfortunately, that guy cut off communication again, but it'll come back probably. You know, when I went to my pastor to get deliverance from addiction, okay, drugs and alcohol, all that stuff many years ago, I went home that very day and I threw away everything associated with that stuff. All the paraphernalia, you ever collect shot glasses? I had a bunch of them. Okay, the wine, beer glasses, the Budweiser, little things. Threw them all away, smashed them, broke them up, got rid of them all. Took all the paraphernalia and got rid of all that, threw it away. I didn't want that stuff around in case I ever wanted to use it again. I wanted to make it hard to sin. Make it hard to get back into that. You know, money management guys used to teach that if you had trouble with impulse buying on your credit cards, remember what they used to say? Freeze them. That's right. Take them and put them in a baggie full of water or a cup of water and put it in your freezer. And then if you saw something, oh man, look at that fancy watch on the home show, whatever it is, and you got to have it, you couldn't just go buy it. You had to wait for that cup to unthaw first. Okay, people got pretty creative at how to chip it away without wrecking the card and everything else, but the whole point is, you got to make it harder. Make it harder to sin. The last one, as I close this morning, is to repent when you sin. Hey, this is last, but it's not least. Jesus said, Matthew 9:12, He said, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go and learn what this means. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For Jesus says, I am not come to call the righteous, but to call sinners unto repentance. Okay, repentance is a foundational truth, and it is a requirement for everyone who calls themselves a Christian. Jesus instructed His disciples. There's a big passage in Mark. It's also in Matthew, but in Mark, He's instructing His disciples. He's gearing them up. He's going to send them out to go forth two by two and to heal and to do this and to do that. And He sends them out to witness for Him. And the Bible tells us this in Mark 6:12. It says, and they went out and they preached that men should repent. That was His message to them. Go and teach men to repent. To repent is required to be a part of the gospel. Okay, to be a part of the kingdom of God, you must repent. The message to all of mankind was the same. In Acts chapter 20, verse 21, it tells us, testifying both to the Jews and to the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. The message was the same, Jew, Gentile, Greek, anybody else, you got to repent and turn your faith toward God, toward Jesus. Repentance means that you change your mind and then accompany that decision with your actions. Okay, it means that you live differently because of what you now know, because of a new choice that you have made. The scriptures tell us not to abuse the grace of God and the freedom that we have in grace by, quote, not giving occasion to the flesh. Okay, that word occasion literally means opportunity. If you're having trouble in a particular area, you got to make it hard for your flesh to win in that area. Make it hard for your flesh to win that battle. Remove the opportunity. How many people this morning have one of these things? This is a little, whatever, 3x6 kind of thing. Okay, when you get these a lot of times, I don't know about you, but I think the last time when I got this one, it came with Google pre-installed on it. Okay, well, I'll just tell on myself a little bit, but I'll tell you the story because I think it'll help you. When you get into Google, you tap on the Google thing to search for something. When they install it, it first comes with all the Google news, okay, that pops up. All these things that they think Google is thinking you might be interested in. Okay, so on mine, I tap on that and it pop up and it had things about muscle cars and motorcycles. And occasionally, it would pop up one that would be a picture of an extremely beautiful woman and it would have a headline. It would say something like, Janie's rocking in her new G-string. Check out pictures here. Okay, I'm a guy. Janie looks pretty nice. I might be interested to see what she looks like in that G-string. I was being tempted just by going to search for some information on my phone. I open up Google and I'm like, whoa, Janie. So I had an option. I can go through that every time that I open up Google. Okay, I was ready. I thought, there's got to be a way out of this. God provides a way out of every temptation. I don't need that. Do I got to throw my phone away? I use it a lot for church stuff. I was trying to justify. And I thought, there's got to be a way. So I got into the deep settings of Google. I don't know how deep it is. It was deep for me. And I found the way that you can eliminate all that Google news. You can tell it not to give you stuff based on things that you like. So it doesn't show cars, it doesn't show motorcycles, it doesn't show women. It doesn't show anything. It shows a blank white line that I can now search in and don't have that temptation anymore. I got rid of it. Okay? And it didn't take more than once to look at I didn't look at Janie, I'll just tell you that. I didn't. Okay. My wife's looking at me like, hey, better not. Janie is pretty good looking in the picture on the front, but the idea is that you have to do something about it. Make a change. Okay, that's called repenting. I was tempted. Okay? But to give into it would have taken it even worse. I didn't want to get to that point. So I figured a way around it. And God will give you that way. Okay, you don't have to go to the bar. Okay, like I said, you don't have to hang out with the people that are, if they're drinking and they're going to be encouraging you, just avoid that situation. I've had to do that many, many, many times over the years. You stop watching the stuff that leads you down the road to sin. You start throwing stuff away if you need to. You make amends with that person that you hurt if you need to. And here's a powerful one. You tell someone that you trust to hold you accountable in a particular area. You set yourself up for success. You know, I want to encourage you this morning to seek to grow up spiritually. Don't quit yet. You're not done yet. God's not done with you. You've got a long way to go, trust me. It's been a long road even for me, and I see it. The longer I'm in it, the more I realize God's not done. He's got things He wants to do. Let Him mature you in His relationship with God, bringing about more holiness and righteous living. Avoid having itching ears. Okay, only wanting to hear the stuff that makes you feel good. Okay, listen to that hard stuff too. That conviction you feel is not necessarily a bad thing. It's what convinces you that you need to change in an area. The Bible tells us that godly sorrow leads to repentance. Oh, I don't want to do that anymore. God, help me not to. When you desire godliness in your life, you're going to begin doing more and more things that when the Spirit prompts you, the Lord prompts you to go in a different direction, you're going to start changing the nature of that relationship. You're going to start putting your foot down in this area and say, no, that's not me anymore. You're going to start making those changes. You might even need to take some drastic steps to make sure that you're headed in the right way. Because if you're headed west, you're not going to get to my house. That's the Lord's message. If you're headed west, you're not going to get to my house. You got to go east. Deny yourself. Be in the Word of God. Pray. Close doors. And repent. It's not complicated. Amen. Father, we are praising you this morning. Lord, I'm grateful that, Father, you brought people again to hear your word, Lord, that we're here to be able to learn and grow together, to get in the same direction, to get on the road to go together. Lord, that we can help each other, that we can support one another, that maybe we'll be the one that gives somebody a ride to Gary's house. Maybe we'll be going in that direction and help take them there. Lord, maybe we'll help steer somebody away from heading the wrong direction. Lord, I pray that you just use this body to glorify your name through the things that you do, just through helping us to serve one another, to serve you, to see you exalted and glorified in our lives, in our families, of course, our places where we work and beyond, out into the world, out into the community around us. Let us all bring glory to the name of Jesus Christ. You are our Lord and our Savior, our Redeemer, our beautiful, loving Savior. Thank you so much, Lord. We praise you for it. It's in Jesus' name that we say, amen. Amen and amen. Amen and amen. See y'all.